Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
Have you noticed that times are changing? Well, believe it or not, the Bible has a lot to say about changing times. Next on Daily in the Word with Paul Chappell, we have an all-new series entitled Times Are Changing. We're going to discover what the Bible has to say about what's happening in our world today. Stay with us. When it comes to predicting the future, the Bible is 100% accurate. Friend, let that sink in for a moment. 100% accurate. It's never been wrong. It never will be wrong because it's the Word of God. And when it comes to today's headlines and the economic and political unfoldings of our day, the Bible is 100% accurate as to the meaning and the direction of these events. It's amazing that God, thousands of years ago, gave us an unfolding description of what's happening before our very eyes on the world scene. Times are changing. That's the topic of this series. It's an all-new series preached recently at Lancaster Baptist Church with Dr. Paul Chappell. Pastor Chappell is the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and the president and founder of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. And this program comes to you every Monday through Friday on this station. And we look forward to this series, Times Are Changing. If you'd like to subscribe to the daily podcast, you can take Daily in the Word with you and listen to it on your computer or iPod. You can also subscribe to a daily devotional from Dr. Chappell. All of this and much more when you visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Again, that's dailyintheword.org. Today we turn to Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39 as we study terror and the war on Israel. Here's Paul Chappell.
Well, how many of you this week heard in the news something about Russia? Let me see your hands. Anybody watch the news? Read the newspaper, all right? How many of you heard this week something about Libya? Anybody hear about Libya? How about Iran? Anybody? All right. Anybody here read other than the sports page? Let me just check on that right now. And some of you maybe read the sports page. Well, if you were in tune with the news at all, you heard about some of the very countries that Ezekiel wrote about 2,600 years ago. In fact, you heard about some of the activities leading up to what we read about just a moment ago in the book of Ezekiel. Now, there is no doubt when you study God's Word and even when you listen to the news today that there is a constant threat of terror against Israel. There is a constant threat of war against the state of Israel. Much of that war and much of that terror deals with the issue of the land, deals with the West Bank, deals with the Gaza Strip and some of those portions of land we studied a few weeks ago. Now, as we begin this morning, make no mistake about the fact that God loves all people, and Jesus Christ died on the cross for the sins of every person on planet Earth. And I really like what Joel Rosenberg wrote in the book Epicenter concerning the issue of the land and the rights for the land. What's more, he said, I should note here that while I strongly support giving the Palestinians autonomy to govern themselves without interference from Israel in return for true peace and stability in the lands run by the Palestinians, I personally oppose the notion of the state of Israel giving away the ancient lands of Judea and Samaria in order to create a sovereign Palestinian state that could become a base camp for anti-Israel and anti-Western terrorism. It seems as though the Israelis struggle with giving land for peace because every time they've given land, it has not brought peace. And so the struggle continues to this very day. Some of the terror is because of the land issue. Some of the terror is just simply the nature of radical Islam. Many of us are aware that those in radical Islam refer to Israel as little Satan, and they refer to America as big Satan. While we're often told in the media that the majority of Muslims are peaceful people, and I certainly hope that is true, there are many, many studies that would indicate that between 10 and 15% of all Muslims have this radicalism at their heart and certainly have ill feelings towards Israel and America. In fact, about 40 million youth are in schools, even during this time of which I preach, Muslim schools called madras. And in these particular schools, young people are taught to have a hatred for Israel and for America. One cleric in Gaza recently stated from his podium these words. He simply said, "Israel is a cancer, and the Jews are a virus resembling AIDS." I think that gives you an idea concerning the mindset of many in the world toward Israel today. Daily, we hear about these different terror groups. We hear about the group called Hamas, formed in 1987. They were a violent offshoot of the Egyptian Muslim Brotherhood. They desire not only a Muslim state in Egypt, but in many other countries of the world today. And much of their terror and much of the terror of the other groups is sponsored by one of the countries we're going to study this morning, and that is the country of Iran. Just as recently as last week, President Ahmadinejad questioned whether the Holocaust was a real event. He questioned and openly wondered when he simply said the Holocaust was a trick used by the Jews in order to get the West to back the establishment of the state of Israel. Perhaps that's why back in 2006, John McCain simply said, "There's only one thing worse than using the option of military action against Iran, and that is the Iranians acquiring nuclear weapons. If Iran gets the bomb," he said, "I think we could have Armageddon." So that lays the groundwork slightly for some of what we're going to study this morning, just a little background concerning some of the terror and hatred toward Israel and why there is concern even at this present time concerning Persia or modern day Iran having nuclear weapons. Today we're going to turn in our studies to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel, according to Edmund Morris, who wrote the book Dutch, a book about Ronald Reagan, was the favorite book of Ronald Reagan. And in fact, a lot of times in his cabinet meetings, he would even quote scriptures like we're going to read this morning as he talked about some of the dealings he had with foreign policy. And we're going to learn today that the scripture in Ezekiel declares that there will be mounting foes against Israel in the last days. And this morning we're going to see where a lot of this hatred and terrorism will ultimately culminate and how there will literally be a coming against the Jews, even as the Bible predicts. And so let's dig into it this morning as we begin in verse number 1. The Bible says, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying," this is the word of God to Ezekiel the prophet, "Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against him." Notice, if you will, the declaration of a battle. God says there is going to be a battle. I want you to prophesy to Gog and Magog, Meshech and Tubal, concerning this battle that is going to take place. Notice the battle in verse 4. He says, "I will turn thee back, and I will put hooks into thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth, and all thine army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords." Now, the first thing I want to discuss this morning concerning the matter of the battle is the timing of the battle. When will this battle, sometimes called the Battle of Gog and Magog, when will this battle take place? Well, I believe as we study textually, we learned a few weeks ago from Ezekiel 36 that God is going to bring the children of Israel into the land. And in fact, in 1948, we saw the establishment of the state of Israel. Ezekiel 36:10 says, "And I will multiply men upon you, all the house of Israel, even all of it, and the cities shall be inhabited, and the wastes shall be builded." Ezekiel 36:24, "For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land." Thus, Ezekiel's war is described as occurring relatively soon after the rebirth of Israel, after the ingathering of the Jewish people from around the world. Secondly, concerning the timing, this battle is going to take place at a time when Israel is somewhat relaxed and assuming that there is peace with their neighbors. Now, that's certainly not the case today, but I want you to know that when this battle takes place, they're going to be caught somewhat off guard. Look at verse 8 of Ezekiel 38. After many days thou shalt be visited, in the latter years thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword, and is gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel, which have been always waste, but it is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. Verse 11, and thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. I will go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates, to take a spoil and to take a prey. Now notice the phrase there, I will go to a land of unwalled villages. In Bible times, the towns and villages were always walled for the purpose of security. They are not walled in the days in which we live. Furthermore, we see in this passage, verse number 11, that Israel will be at rest. They will be dwelling safely. The text implies that this battle will happen when they're somewhat relaxed. Now again, Israel, in the day in which we live, is typically always on alert. How many of you believe Israel should be on alert right now? And they're always on alert. In fact, Dan Gillerman, the former Israeli ambassador to the United Nations, said to Fox News that Israel is prepared to take military action if sanctions against Iran will not work. And then he said Israel is always close to a strike because Israel cannot afford to fall asleep. I mean, since the very first days of May 1948, Israel has had to be vigilant because the adversaries around them would come and snuff them out if they could. So the question this morning is why, or what would cause Israel to be at such a relaxed state, at such a time of unpreparedness, if you will, rather than being at the state of heightened alert that they typically have been a part of and typically have employed? Well, perhaps the key is found in Daniel's prophecy. And when we study Daniel in a few weeks, we're going to see that Daniel speaks about the 70th week. This 70th week, notice in Daniel 9:27, the 70th week speaks about the tribulation period. Daniel 9:27 says, and he, speaking of the Antichrist, shall confirm the covenant. This speaks of a diplomatic treaty or agreement that he will make. And he will confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Now the term 1 week in Daniel 9:27 speaks of a 7-year period. Sometimes we speak of the words of the number 12 and we say a dozen in relation to the number 12. Daniel, in speaking of his 70 weeks, spoke about 70 sets of seven. The final 7 years was suspended at the coming of Christ, for the kingdom was not established then. But that final 7 years will take place on this earth. It's often called the period of the tribulation. And so, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation, speaking of the offerings at the temple, to cease. And for the overspreading of the abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Now the Antichrist and perhaps the European Union will make an agreement with Israel. That agreement will be for a 7-year period. However, the Bible indicates that in the middle of that 7-year period, the Antichrist will cause the sacrifices to cease at the temple in Jerusalem. Jesus spoke about this in Matthew 24:15. Notice it says, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Matthew 24:21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. So what is the timing of this battle we're speaking about this morning? I believe the timing will take place during the first part of the tribulation, when they, the world, will say, peace. Just prior to the great tribulation, there will be this time where it appears this charismatic worldwide leader has finally struck a deal that allowed the Jews to build their temple and worship, allowed the Palestinians to have their place of residence, and everyone seems to be at peace, and everyone thinks that things are just fine. The cities are not walled. The people are at rest. The timing of the battle then will be after Israel has come into the land and before the period known as the Great Tribulation. Now let's notice, secondly, the terror against Israel, the terror that is going to come. Where will this terror come from? Well, let's get to our text this morning and notice, if you would, in verse 2. Son of man, set thy face against Gog and the land of Magog. When Ezekiel gives his prophecy, he gives a series of different names from which this terror is going to come. And the first two names are Gog and Magog. Gog and Magog. Magog is identified with the Scythian people, which would make up the former Soviet Union. I've given you a lengthy note in your notes this morning from John Wolvert, but as you come down to the end of this, speaking of the Indo-Aryan heritage, speaking of the folks that make up this people group, he mentions the countries of Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, Georgia, and possibly Afghanistan, the Soviet Union. Located next to these ancient countries was the country of Rosh, which is called modern-day Russia. Gog, we believe, was a prince or ruler over this area. Gog and Magog speak of the Soviet Union in this text. Secondly, we see the names Meshech and Tubal. Meshech was Japheth's sixth son, the son of Noah, a descendant of Japheth. Many people believe that Meshech and Tubal are speaking of modern-day Moscow and Tobolsk. Now, whether that speaks of the cities of Russia or whether it speaks, as some believe, of modern-day Turkey, still, these are countries to the north of Israel, and God is describing a great federation of countries to the north, eyeing Israel and coming down against Israel. The third word that I want you to take note of is down in verse number 6. It says, Gomer and all his bands, the house of Togarmah of the north quarters. Togarmah is related to Magog, related to Meshech and Tubal, and the north quarter speaks of the region of ancient Armenia or Turkey. Again, powers to the north. The Imperial Dictionary speaks of Togarmah as the Turkomans, who have always joined the Turks. Now again, in Ezekiel 38:14, the Bible says this, "Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say unto Gog, thus saith the Lord God, in that day when my people of Israel dwelleth safely, shalt thou not know it? And thou shalt come from thy place out of the north parts, thou and many people with thee, all of them riding upon horses, a great company and a mighty army." And so as we study these countries that are going to come down into Israel for battle, the first ones identified are the League of Nations to the north. If any of you have been watching and observing over the last few years, you have seen a reemergence of Russia onto the world stage. You have heard of their submarines off the Atlantic coast. You have heard of them selling arms to Venezuela. You have heard of them selling arms to Syria and helping the Iranians with their weapons and their arsenal as well. USA Today quoted Putin recently, the former president of Russia, saying, "Russia will not support force or sanctions against Iran." Putin said that there must be a peaceful nuclear program and that Iran's nuclear program is purely peaceable. Now, there's no doubt that Russia has been supporting the Iranians in the building up of their nuclear ability. Although they acquiesced some this past week, I believe there is a great evidence showing that they are staunch allies with Iran, who we will study in just a moment. In fact, recently Vladimir Putin said in a letter to Ahmadinejad released by the Kremlin and quoted from the book Epicenter that he believed adding the development of Russian-Iranian nuclear ties contributed to global peace and stability. In fact, back in 2008, according to informed sources and from the late great state of Israel by Aaron Klein, we read, Syria struck a deal with Russia that allows Moscow to station submarines and warships off of Tartus and Latakia. In exchange, Russia agreed to supply Syria with weaponry at bargain prices, including advanced missile defense systems. You fast forward that to September 2009, and the news was reporting a few weeks ago that from Israel, the Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu mysteriously took a plane and went to Russia. He quickly and stealthily went to Russia for some negotiations that greatly concerned Israel. And at the bottom part of that quote, you can read, "The Haaretz Daily said Netanyahu discussed Russian arms deals with Iran and Syria, and that Israel presented evidence that Russian arms were making their way to Iranian-backed Hezbollah guerrillas in Lebanon." In another report, the paper said the talks were also focused on sophisticated anti-aircraft missiles that Russia has agreed to sell Iran. The delivery of the S-300 missiles would make it much more difficult for Israel to carry out an attack on Iran. Now, all of that simply to show you that Russia is emerging back. Some would say the Cold War is over, but Russia is lusting for power and dominance in the world once again, and many of their allies are these countries like Iran and other countries who have a hatred for Israel, and many of them for America. And so we see these words listed in verses 2 and 6. Let's move along, secondly, and notice in verse number 5 some of the other countries that will be involved in the invasion. Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya with them, all of them with shield and helmet. Now, Persia is modern-day Iran. 35 times in the Old Testament, we read about Persia. In 1932, they changed their name from Persia to Iran. Ezekiel speaks about this, Ezekiel 38 and verse 4, "And I will turn thee back and put hooks into thy jaws and bring thee forth," verse 5, "Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya with them." And so we see the emergence of some prophetic alliances. We see that emergence in the day in which we currently live, especially with Russia and Iran being foremost in this prophecy. And we see how the military aggression will take place through this coalition. Now let's quickly look at some of these nations. First we see Persia. Iran is a theocratic republic under the rule of the Ayatollah Khomeini. In 2005, President Ahmadinejad spoke at something called the Conference on the World Without Zionism. And he said, Israel must be wiped off the map. By the way, with statements like that, do we understand why Israel's concerned about a nuclear Iran? I think we understand that. This is something that's very concerning to many in the world today. It's concerning not only because of Iran's direct statements and threats against Israel, but because they train the Hamas terrorists and they control Hezbollah, located in Lebanon to the north of Israel. Look at the quote in your notes. The commander, who withheld his name, this is from Aaron Klein, since he was a target of Israeli forces, told the Sunday Times that Hamas had been sending fighters to Iran for training in field tactics and weapons technology. He said some Hamas members traveled to Syria for more basic training. Military officials said they were surprised by the scale of the Hezbollah bunkers, in which Israeli troops reportedly found war rooms stocked with advanced eavesdropping and surveillance equipment, much of it labeled, what do those three words say? Made in Iran. And I just simply share that with you so that you can see the relationship, modern-day relationship, building and strengthening between Magog and Persia, Russia and Iran. In March 2008, the Hezbollah chief Hassan Nasrallah said, "The presence of Israel is but temporary and cannot go in the region. We will see you killed in the fields. We will kill you in the cities. We will fight you like we have never seen before." All of that combined with the fact that Iran is very nearly now a nuclear power militarily puts Persia clearly in the sight scripturally for us to view and to realize the Bible's prophecy is coming to pass.
Well, you've been listening to Pastor Paul Chappell, and he's been teaching and preaching in a series entitled Times Are Changing. We're discovering how accurate Bible prophecy is when looking at today's news headlines, and we're understanding what God has to say about the unfolding of the end of the age. If you'd like to hear this message in its entirety or any of the recent broadcasts, if you'd like to get this entire series, visit us at dailyintheword.org. Online, you can listen to recent broadcasts. You can also subscribe to the Daily Podcast and download Daily in the Word to your own computer or iPod and take it with you and listen or re-listen to these messages at your own convenience. Would you consider referring a friend to dailyintheword.org? You probably know somebody that doesn't live in an area where this program is broadcast. They might benefit from the Bible teaching and preaching. And when you direct them to dailyintheword.org, they can listen to the program and download it to go. And hopefully the teaching of God's Word will encourage and edify those you love. If you would take time to contact us during the month of January, we would like to give you a gift, our way of saying thank you for listening, but also thank you for letting us know that our program is touching your life. This is a small book written by Pastor Chapel entitled All Things Through Christ, the 10 most important words in the life of a believer. I can do all things through Christ. What a great truth. This little booklet will encourage you. It will challenge you in your life to live your life fully dependent upon the power and the presence of Christ in each and every circumstance. It's our gift to you this month when you call or write to us, and we're easy to contact, toll free. That number is 1-800-201-7748. Once again, 1-800-201-7748. You can also visit us online at dailyintheword.org and click on the email link. Let us know that our program is touching your life and how this ministry has impacted you. If you'd like to send a letter via mail, you can address your letter to Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Once again, that's Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Thanks so much for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. Until next time, have a great day.